Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. You're being joined this morning by myself, Julie Calamine, and my normal, usual, trained in, well-trained co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. I don't know, after 2 weeks off, I've forgotten everything.
Oh, dear, we're starting over again.
Is this the right end of the microphone?
Oh, I think so. Oh. I'm hearing you.
Okay.
We'll hope everyone's hearing you.
How was your weekend?
It was excellent. Good. It was really wonderful.
Well, we climbed up in the smoke and the haze to dissuade hikers from encountering goats too closely. Had a good time on Scotchman Peak this weekend.
Oh, good. And did that work out? Were the goats hazed?
The goats were hazed, just like the haze around us, and the people were hazed a little, too.
By the smoky haze.
Yeah, that's the key to it all.
Forest fires. Well, let's talk about the weather for just a few moments, and then we'll move into a very... This is going to be a rollicking, fun interview this morning.
Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun this morning.
We've got lots of happy...
Let's get through the weather.
We'll start with that anyway. So we do have haze. We've got haze today and hot, hot, hazy weather. A high today of 97, low tonight of 58, 56, a high tomorrow of 93, and a high of 93 and a low of 53. But then it improves, Phil. We're going to have sunny, clear weather and lower temps, 85, 77, 70s through the weekend. So we've got our back to our beautiful Sandpoint summer weather.
It sounds like running weather or biking weather.
It
which
does.
Is what we're here to talk about this morning. It's That's amazing right. how we timed that. We've got a full house, so we're going to go around robin and introduce them all, starting with Sandpoint's very own Kate McAllister, president of the Chamber of Commerce, who's joined with us today by Ricky Whitty, also from the Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, one at a
good
time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was all Kate. Right. Charles Mortensen from the Pondre Peddlers and Syringa Cyclery. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
And finally, Dig Krismar from Schweitzer Mountain Resort.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about the fun runs, maybe some serious runs,
yeah.
A little bit of bicycling, some upcoming events, and... all kinds of summer activities here in Sandpoint.
That's right.
That we live here, we move here for, we bring in visitors for.
That's right. All the way to Huckleberries. We're going to go from hiking to Huckleberries.
We're not going to talk much about Huckleberries.
You can talk about the berries, just not where they are.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Well, let's start with the Chamber of Commerce, as you guys are kind of responsible for promoting this area for all these kinds of things. Tell us a little bit about the Chamber, Kate.
Well, we can, how about this? I'll handle the tourism side and then Ricky can handle the other side. Mm-hmm. We promote a lot of this stuff through tourism. People may not know that the Chamber's mission statement is we're an advocate for business development and tourism in the greater Sandpoint area. So I apply for a tourism grant every year from the state and we just got it. For this year, we were awarded $180,000, which is a 12% increase, which is great. When I first started, we were at 86, so we've come a long way. And we have to, the stipulation is we have to advertise outside of the area to bring people in. So we advertise in Alaska Magazine, we advertise into Canada. We know exactly who our tourist, or who our traveler is who comes here. We have them in buckets. And one of the things we do is we use the funds to promote a lot of our events that are happening. And the way that we do that is that we have to prove that most of the participants are from out of town. And then we can promote the, so we promote it in Out There Monthly and Northwest magazines. And so that's kind of how we use tourism to promote events. We are promoting POAC. We'll promote Crosstoberfest. So as soon as I get data on where all the people are coming from, then I can use the grant funds to promote. And so that's how we promote events in the area. But Ricky will tell you about what the Chamber's really all about.
Well, the fun part.
I know, right?
Well, I think I like to stress the most that the Chamber is a 501c6, a membership driven nonprofit. So we're a totally independent, not legislatively driven nonprofit here in town. And our main goal, like Kate was saying, is to promote small local businesses in the area so that people know that you're here and what you do. And that's what I do day in and day out as the membership specialist, is just make sure people know that our businesses are here in town and functioning and what they do and how we can possibly help promote them and make sure everyone's successful in our town.
It's a big job, but it's one that seems to be working because we are having a crowded, busy, wonderful summer here in Sandpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to point out to people who do complain about the tourists that because Sandpoint is really lucky. We have a really diverse community, and there are so many people who enjoy the outdoor recreational activities year-round that tourism only accounts for 30-ish percent of our economy, 35%. So it's just live through it for a couple months, and then the town is ours again.
Then there's me. I'm like, only 30%?
Yeah.
30% is awesome. I mean, that's it's a lot. It's a big number, and we're really grateful because of those fantastic visitors to the town. We get to live here.
Exactly.
Right. And that we and have to remember that. Around. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's not only the money they bring in, but without that 30%, we wouldn't have the events or the places like Schweitzer to go to, or the events like the Scenic Half we're going to talk a little about coming up.
One of the things I love the most about living and being in a tourist town is I find myself sometimes in the day-to-day monotony, like I'm walking through Super One or, you know, trying to get my kids to do something, and I'll run into someone who's new to town and clueless about where to go or what's going on. And if I let myself go down that path of frustration, like, oh, dear God, then I'm lost. But if I stop and pause and go, okay, yeah, let me see this through fresh eyes again. Yeah. You're right. This lake is here. Huge. You're absolutely right. And yes, Super One is kind of confusing if you don't know where they put stuff. So it's just a matter of perspective to keep that it's a great way to look at our town through a different perspective and keep things really alive.
Well, and we have every day at the visitor center.
Yeah, right.
You guys, if you have questions, come down and see us.
And we had a study commissioned by Headwater Economics because everybody's saying we focus too much on tourism, but that's why we found out for sure that it's only 35%, because we have a really diverse economy, which keeps us running. Unlike McCall or Leavenworth, without tourism, they are nowhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's who they compared us to. So, yeah, so I was really happy about that, to say we're not 100% tourism. Yeah. We're only 35%.
Well, and Kate, you always talk about there's great stories of people who are tourists in town who come into town and then they want to set up business.
Right.
So it's through our recreation and through our natural resources that we have people who come here to vacation and they're like, I want to live here. How do I live here? How do I make it so? And that's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And an example of that might be one of our guests this morning that we haven't heard much from.
Charles. Ladies.
Sorry.
Just going to turn the mic around.
It seems that with the business of cycling, you may have come here as a tourist first. Is that true?
Not really. I kind of came here. I visited here first. My brother was living here and asked my boss if I could move up here and work remotely. And he said, sure. That was 21 years ago. And,
all right. So that's a great way to
get
here. And
things have evolved quite a bit since then. But still working for that company officially, but not really.
I think that's the story that we find from a lot of people. We always ask our guests how it is they found Sandpoint, why they moved here, or if they grew up here, you know, what keeps them. And I think the universal theme are those things that we enjoy doing, those activities.
It's hard to come through here and not think of it as a place to settle, really, because it's just amazing.
Pretty spectacular. Well, tell us a bit about your work in Sandpoint. We know you run a bicycle shop, but you also work with an organization that promotes biking. Tell us a bit.
Yeah, the Pondere Pedalers, or POP, or P-O-P, as many people know them, is a nonprofit organization, and our main mission or goal is to build and maintain trails throughout the area. For cycling, running, jogging, whatever, hiking. So we've been very busy this year. We've had three major projects going at one time. One is at Syringa Heights. Everybody's familiar with the trail system up there. We've been building a new trail up there, a couple new trails actually. We've had our mini excavator out there with a lot of volunteers out there working. And we've also partnered with another group up in Bonner's Ferry called 9B Trails to help them with some trails that they're building up there. And the biggest one is up on the Watershed Crest Trail. We've actually, in earnest, started building trail up there this summer after many years of planning and permitting and all sorts of things that you have to do to build a trail on public and private property. So we have up there right now, actually, we have our mini excavator and we have a group, the Idaho Conservation Corps, which is a group of young adults building trail. And they camp for 10 days at a time up there on Ulita Ridge, building trail all day long and
that's
getting very
really
dusty.
Interesting, because they were recent guests on our program about 2 weeks ago, and we just had a great time. Kate Lemon,
was our guest.
Yeah, that trail is, once complete, that trail is going to be, it is already a gem, but it's going to be such an amazing asset. Yeah.
So what we're doing, you know, the original vision for the Watershed Crest Trail was this big looping trail that goes from Schweitzer over to Baldy and then down the Mickinac Trail. So that was problematic for, you know, many reasons. You know, just terrain itself was... there's no way you could really get down the Mickinac, and it's not a really good biking trail anyway. Yeah. So what we're doing now is we're building smaller loops and then kind of linking those together. So what we're doing this year is starting on what we're calling the Ulita Loop, which I think is a 6 mile or so, follows the ridge and then comes down on a lower contour.
That's work. You've had some events, though, too, related to cycling, and one coming up in October.
Yeah, Crosstoberfest is our annual cyclocross race, which is just cycling mayhem for 2 days. This year it's the last weekend of September. We'll probably have, you know, 300 or 400 people coming from out of town, I would say, with spectators and racers alike. And we have, you know, music, beer, food, lots of racing, and, you know, all ages, all abilities, and it's just a really fun event. And it's actually a benefit event for Team Autism 24/7.
Where does it take place? Is it all over?
No, it's actually at the Extension Center, the U of I.
Oh, nice.
So, which this could be the last year we're there. But we have plans for the future for a new venue. Hopefully, Pine Street Woods possibly is an idea. But yeah.
Okay, so just remember that I'll buy you an ad for Crosstoberfest, and as soon as those trails are done up there, we're going to advertise like crazy about the trails to get people to town to use them.
Pine Street Woods,
And all those trails, even the Watershed Crest Trail.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because that demographic, we can really do that. And that, as chamber president, I can say that Charles represents Syringa Bicyclery and Dig represents Schweitzer Mountain.
Well, I just want to comment on with Charles talking about the work that's been done on Ulita Ridge. It's been really fun for us at the mountain to see all the different people who are exploring that trail system. The work that's been done in the lower basin is amazing, and I like to trail run. I like to scare the wild animals for everybody else. That's my job. But the system is incredible, and it's free, and everyone can access it. And you can hike up or and bike down or whatever you need to do. And that Ulita Ridge is just stunning. Yeah. I highly recommend getting up and exploring that.
So I also would add that, you know, all this work that we're doing up there and in the basin, lower basin, is all stuff that we're doing. The POP is doing with a. We have an agreement with the city to be able to, you know, build and maintain trails.
Thank you,
in
city.
In a responsible manner, you know. So, you know, that's kind of been, it's, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they think they can go out there and just sort of build trail willy-nilly, and you can't. Right. So, but we've kind of, you know, gotten that word out this year quite a bit, and I think people are starting to appreciate what it takes to put into these trails and how long it takes to actually get things done up there.
Yeah. But.
So for those who are unfamiliar with the trail system that's being built, Charles, why don't you first walk us through a little bit of the multiple jurisdictions that the trails are going to exist on, and then I want to come back and have Dig explain how that wraps into Schweitzer Mountain?
So if you start, you know, with a lower basin trail, which if you're not familiar with that, it's a trail which roughly parallels the Schweitzer Road from between the second and third switchback up to the roundabout. And then there's a series of trails that go up from the roundabout and eventually up to the top of the ridge and connect to Uleta Ridge, for example, which is what we're building now. So, you know, in all that terrain, you've got City of Sandpoint, you've got Forest Service, you've got Schweitzer property, you've got the Selkirk Rec District, BLM land, state land, private property, and, you know, just getting all those groups together and, you know, agreeing to a plan to build trail.
There's a reason the planning process has taken 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah.
Which is interesting because Phil and I talk about trails quite a bit here on Tuesday mornings. And for the long trails, like the Pacific Crest Trail, it's easy to understand how complicated that would be. But here we are in a really relatively small area and facing many of the same challenges
we have
along.
A microcosm in 28 miles of one of 28-mile trails. Like, so Dig, tell us how this project literally, physically fits in with the resort.
Well, we've noticed in the last couple of years, specifically with mountain biking, that it's growing in popularity. The sport is exploding all over the place, and it's really fun to watch the new. Well, Charles knows really well the newer bikes are the. I hate to say it, but the better your gear, the better the experience. And the gear these days is amazing, and so we're seeing a lot more people wanting to explore. On Schweitzer itself, we have some pretty challenging terrain because it's very rocky. So the complement that we have with our guests and people coming to the region, being able to get onto lower basin trails or explore up Uleta, has just been phenomenal because it opens up a whole nother level of experience that, that we were missing, and we are really grateful to have that partnership. And the Selkirk Rec District runs a shuttle that they do on the weekends so that riders, if you don't want to ride up the trail system, you can, you know, take it all the way from the summit if you want to, you know, get a chairlift ticket and ride to the top and then start all the way down from Uleta and boogie on your bike or run or whatever, all the way down to the bottom at turn two, and then get on the shuttle with the Selkirk Rec District and do it again. And a lot of people are taking advantage of that, which is just, I love it. I love it, especially because those trails are so beautiful and we are so lucky that they work so well together. And I hope more people will take advantage of that. You know, you can drive up to the roundabout on the Schweitzer Road and park right there. And there's a couple little trails, the Upper Basin, Flow, Vuski, which is just, I just discovered that the first time myself the other day. And I'm in love with that trail. Like, I know we spent a lot of time in town on Syringa and the Bay Trail, and those are great trails as well. But let's be honest, they can get crowded. And it can be a little scary if you're running and a mountain biker comes at you, so make lots of noise. That's why I really like the lower basin trails. They're popular without being overloaded. So we're really lucky.
Can I clarify something? As like a casual town beach cruiser biker, do people actually ride bicycles up a mountain through the woods?
Not me, but yes. Yeah. Well, you know what's really funny? This is another thing, and I hope I can address this too. You need to try e-bikes. That's what you need to try.
We're wanting to get e-bikes.
Yeah. E-bikes is a whole new thing that it's up your alley, Ricky.
Okay, gotcha.
What is an e-bike?
So an e-bike, again, Charles probably can address this better than I can, but it's a bike that has an electronic battery that gives you a pedal assist. So as you go to conquer a hill or a bit of challenging terrain, you kind of hit the thrust and the bike will help you get up a bit. Schweitzer this year, we're so stoked because we actually have a fleet of them that we're doing hosted tours with. So we're taking those out on the cross-country trails. And again, it's a great opener for people who don't know what to expect with mountain biking, that they can get on a bike, and if they're a novice, you have biking experience, you know how to ride.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you can do an e-bike tour.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Yeah. It's super fun. It's super fun.
I think Ricky's comment, though, highlights something that's really important here. In the mix of things, there's something for everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
You can go to City Beach with your family and walk along the Pondere Bay Trail. It's flat, beautiful lake. As short or long as you like, go back and forth if you want more times in, or you can go up the mountain and careen down at speeds that would scare a bear off the trail.
Or you hope.
Right. Right.
You hope.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Definitely. And I have to mention, I did not know that you could take a shuttle up and only have to bike down. This is new information
Heck
for
yeah.
Julie.
Yeah.
See, that's I think I may be able to do
not
it.
Not everyone. Yeah. Bikes about okay. Some of them just forget the brakes and bike down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We try to cover all angles. Mm. Right.
Even that part of it scares me. Yeah. My grandmother, though, I think would be particularly excited. She lived on Syringa Heights and was a huge biker. She windsurfed and skied everyone. She tried to ski her age everyone.
Oh, my God, I love her.
Like, I think the last time she did it was 74 years old. She skied 74 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and she, coming from Syringa Heights, would be so excited about the trail system happening up there. I think that would be a huge, and the cross-country skiing in the winter and all of that was right up her alley.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, a lot of these trails, I mean, wouldn't be possible without some really generous support from the Equinox Foundation, which has funded a lot of the work that we're doing this summer up at Yoleda. Private property owners, the you know, the Syringa Heights, those trails, that's all private property. And, you know, recently, I mean, for years it's been, you know, the main chunk of it has been owned by one person, but there's one section that we've had just unwritten permission to use, which is the first section from the trailhead at Pine Street, Greta Segway. Yeah. Recently, that 20-acre parcel was donated by the owner, who lives in South Carolina, I think.
Something, yeah.
Something like that.
And he just gave it to Kinnexu Land Trust. So that'll be added on to the Pine Street Woods piece when that comes about.
All these projects take a lot of time and money and sweat equity. There's a lot of labor that goes into building the trails, from the Idaho Conservation Corps you mentioned to volunteers with the organizations like Ponderay Peddlers.
Right.
Who get out and physically make these things happen.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which...
Julie's all chosen.
I was just saying that. Yeah. She's very emotional.
She's big into volunteering. So I just said the one thing that really chokes her
gets
up.
It really gets me. However, here's the chicken or the egg question, though. All of our wonderful, accessible places to bike and run bring events, or do the events bring the folks that... You know what I'm saying? Chicken or egg? Which comes first? The event we're going to be talking about running it.
I'm going to jump on the color run first, because I think in our case up at Schweitzer, we're excited to find ways for people to learn about our trail system, and so the color run that we are hosting on Sunday is a great opportunity to get people out in a non traditional trail running kind of concept, because I think you have. The concept of a trail runner can be very scary, because you're thinking people are going out for hours at a time and getting black toenails and you're horrible crazy. Stuff like that. Yeah, and they're crazy and it's miserable, and it is, but it's and it's really fun. But so our color run is a different experience. We want people to get out in the trails and see that side of Schweitzer in a really fun setting, because it's kind of goofy that you're running along and you get to a certain point on the trail and people are hiding behind trees and throw biodegradable cornstarch color at you and you laugh. And in the first station, everybody's like hiding from it. They don't want to get color. Don't get me.
Wait a minute.
At the end, they're covered.
Let's go back some. I'd assume the color run was an homage to the purple huckleberries that they might pick along
originally,
the way.
Originally, yes.
Okay.
That was a tie.
So tell us how it's evolved.
So we know that there is a passion for the huckleberry in the region, I guess we should say. And for years, Schweitzer had the Huckleberry Festival, which was great, everything huckleberry. But I think we started to see a trend with people that, you know, as much as it was fun to have huckleberry pancakes or whatever, they wanted more, and they wanted more of an experience getting out and doing things. So the Huckleberry Color Fun Run was a great addition to that. So it kind of morphed into that's the run rather than the Huckleberry Festival. And it's been great.
They literally throw food starch at you.
Yeah. It's awesome. And the kids love it. That's the thing I love about this event, is that it's families, it's grandmas, it's kids, it's moms and dads. And so it's either 5K or 2.5K, and you get out on the trail and you're racing your little 9-year-old, and she beats you, and then she's covered in orange before you are, and then you're, you know, running to the next spot and they get covered in green, and it's just really silly and really fun. But at the same time, you're out in this beautiful trail system, which is gorgeous, and just getting to see a whole different side to running and to trails and the whole thing. And so,
are there prizes for the person with the most color on them?
A hug and a handshake, maybe? No. And again, that's the thing. It's this is not a timed event. Right. You know, we have everybody kind of starts and takes off. Then we finish the run back in the village, and you know, we have a couple of color tosses because people get a bag of color as they register for the event, and so we all get together at like 11:30 and count to three and then throw these color packets, and then there's just this smoke cloud of, you know, red, purple, orange, green, yellow, and giggles, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It does sound awesome.
I'm going to make Phil do it.
When is the event?
It is Sunday.
Oh, what time? Sunday.
It starts, registration opens at 7:30, and the race starts at 10.
Okay. Any need to pre-register? Or
you can do so online. Okay. You can do so online. Yeah.
Well, this might be a good time to take a short musical break, kind of regroup from the thoughts of people throwing color
at me. And you can go
me.
Register.
And to consider this while it takes, ow, stop twisting that arm. And then we can come back and talk about more events.
Very true. And for those of you just joining us, this is KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. We're going to take a short song break and listen to the Spencer Davis Group with Keep On Running.
Welcome back. That was Spencer Davis Group. Was that right, Julie?
It was the Spencer Davis Group with Keep On Running.
Yeah. And we've just got to continue to pick up on this color run. We were talking on the break. So if I show up with a plain white shirt, how long will the tie-dye effect last?
Oh, well, as long as you want it to. So okay. Some people after the race, we have a leaf blower. that we blow the color off of them again. Yeah. Like last, we have a great picture last year, a guy with a beard down to his chest, had just all kinds of color. And then afterwards, they were taking the leaf blower, and his beard was going in 7 different directions, and the color was flying, and it was really fun. But yeah, or you can soak it in I forget if it was like vinegar. I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And then it sets.
Yeah, that's how they set the tie-dye.
And the kids, my daughter did that. She's too young. So. I am not too young. I did see the Dead Live with Jerry. Thank you. Okay. That's a segue. Right.
You didn't have to give it away. But so,
I'm proud of my age.
So let's talk a little bit more about the opportunities that are available to up on the mountain, the range of activities that are available to guests, both local and tourists.
And we always joke, Schweitzer, we're a ski resort in a lake town. So summertime, we're really glad, again, to be a complement to what everybody else is doing in Sandpoint. The lake is the draw. People come, they want to get on the water, and they're out to play. But after, you know, if the lake gets blown out on a windy day, or they have too much sunburn, or they just need a break, we're really glad that we can complement their vacation and their experience. And even living here, complement your day-to-day experience, get a different perspective, come up to the island in the sky, check things out. You know, Sky House is a great spot to go escape to if you want to get lunch and check out the view. We've just tried to find pieces that fit with what we're doing here. We've got the activities in the village for the kids. The trail system's free. You can come up in the summer and bike and hike and run. You can hike up the nature trail to get to the summit, so you don't need to purchase a lift ticket if you don't want to. You know, then we have the special events, of course, a festival every month. Huckleberry Fun Run is coming up, and then at the end of the month, of course, is Fall Fest. So
I think that's really key. There's a free trail system that's just outstanding, world class. You can hike and bike on, and there's rentals available.
Absolutely.
What a great asset for the town to have. And I think as we look at that, we can talk to Charles about some of the assets that there are other than Schweitzer available for hiking and biking. And
Schweitzer is a pretty small town, but it's a very bike centric town. And what do we have? 8,000 people in town, and there's. Mm-hmm. Let's see, 5 bike shops?
Yeah, 5 bike shops. Full Moon Ride that attracts 400 people.
Full Moon Ride, yeah.
Yeah, a huge shout out to Brian.
Hundreds of people. Yeah, that's a great event. Every full moon. You know, a lot of people come into the shops and looking for bike rentals in town. Mm-hmm. Any kind of bike, you know, they're just looking for something to ride around town.
And if somebody comes in wanting to know where to go, they can stop in one of the shops and get some good advice.
You know, for instance, I've got people come in and asking about Schweitzer, too. And I've got all of Schweitzer's maps and brochures in the shop. So I give them a map and they'll head up to Schweitzer. And we just sort of send them on up to Syringa Heights or over to Mineral Point or the Bay Trail. People are looking for places to ride or just walk around, you know.
The paved trail to Dover.
Most any town would be glad to have just one of those trails, and here we are with this.
Yeah, we're very
abundance.
Lucky. Yeah, there's a lot for people to do, not just tourists, but you know, if you're just living here.
And to fill this picture out too, it's July, so it's hard to think of cross country skiing, but in the wintertime.
In the winter, so the Sandpoint Nordic Club. Which is also a nonprofit group, and they run a ski rental program through my shop. For adults, they just started last year. For years they've been having a youth program where, you know, they sort of rent out gear to the youth group, and they offer instruction, and you know, they have like a regular winter long, 2 days a week or something. They have a race team. And just a recreational youth group. They also maintain, you know, where we do the cyclocross at the University of Idaho Extension, they groom trails there for Nordic skiing, snow permitting. Last year was a great season. I think it was the longest season they had because we just had pretty steady snow in town.
Yes. And steady temperatures kept the snow on the ground.
Yeah. And, you know, that's probably also going to migrate eventually up to Pine Street Woods.
Now, I've done the full moon biking and I've done the full moon skiing, and they're both a lot of fun. Although there's not as many people out on the full moon skiing, and there certainly isn't as much beer on the trail. But there are a range of activities for all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the name of your shop again, Charles?
That's the Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce speaking there.
Promoting local businesses.
Syringa Cyclery. Yes.
Thank you. I'll know where to get my cross-country skis.
Yeah.
But along those lines, I do have a question because, of course, the Chamber is promoting business. And does the Chamber or is the Chamber also able to promote things like trails, the items that are community?
Constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so. People come into the Visitor Center all the time at 1202 North 5th Avenue. And
15 to 20,000 during the summer.
Yes.
Wow.
Visitors coming through there. And it's most of the time people, like in the summer, they come in and go like, well, there's the lake. What else? Right. And so we are fortunate, like Phil was saying, we have so many, there's so much diversity in our trails and just opportunity for people to get outdoors in different capacities that no matter who it is, whether they're 90 or 4, there's something that I can recommend for them to do. I do tend to send them up to Schweitzer when they're like, hey, what else is there? Because there's so much for any age. You can just ride the chairlift if you want to. There's different kinds of trails for anybody who's looking to bike or just walk or take a nice hike, pick huckleberries, that kind of thing. It just makes it really easy for us. I do also love the Pend'Oreille Bay Trail because that, no matter what physical capabilities you have, it's a natural trail, it's on the lake, you're in the shade, and it's a really easy flat trail. It's not hard. You don't have to go the full mile and a half to the end. You can just do 10 feet and then turn around and there's a bench. It makes it really easy for us.
And so the Chamber, in addition to the businesses and the facilities, trails, promotes events. And we could talk for a long time about just the events in the next month in Sandpoint, but we're here today to talk about biking and running and those kinds of things. Yes. And there's a big event coming up in September.
Yes. Well, with 150 nonprofits, it's hard to find a weekend without something happening. But to add to Ricky's too, we have trail maps. We have the Pend'Oreille Peddlers bike trail map in there, so we have all kinds of trail maps in the visitor center as well. Like Ricky said, they're the most requested to do. But yes, we have this is our 10th year for the Scenic Half Marathon. When we started, it was probably about 1,200 runners, but now there's a lot of choice, so we average out about 700 runners. 3/4 of them come from outside of the area, and also the majority of them are women, and so we tend to, at the end of the race, give a little bit of money to either community cancer services for breast cancer research or some other local nonprofit that helps fund women's causes, because that is an honor to our runners. And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, yeah, it's our 10th anniversary. And you have to really want to come here for events. And to answer your question you asked earlier about do events bring people or et cetera, I think it's a little bit of both. Because when you come to an event here, you come here with purpose. It's not like Coeur d'Alene just right off the freeway. You fall into events that are happening there. You really come here with a purpose. And then, or you're visiting family, and then you realize it calls to you. I really believe it does. It calls to you to be here. And so it's interesting when you are here how, I mean, we joke with people in the chamber when they come in and say they're moving here. I say, well, it's required that you volunteer for something, just to let you know, because we're that kind of a town. But yeah, and so our race is one of the chambers. We are a nonprofit. People tend to forget that. We don't get government money. And so we rely on our events, and Scenic Half is our biggest event. And yeah, it's a lot of moving pieces and parts.
How did it get started?
It was actually Alan McClelland and Judy Thompson. They wanted to do something that would add economic vitality to the town, bring people into town, and also provide a good event. And they are both runners, and so they started it and carried it through to about year, let's see, I've been with the chamber for almost 9 years, year three, and then they both went and did something else. And so then we continued it on. But people now, they do come in and spend the weekend. And so you wouldn't, you know, because I always go around and ask all the stores, how'd you do? Did you get,
you know, people in. And so the run really does bring people in, and they spend money. Just like we're going to have Ride Idaho, which is 300 bicycle riders this coming Sunday. They're going to camp at City Beach, but they spend a lot of money when they're here. And that's what we need, because without the summer influx, it would be difficult for some of our little stores to hang on. And, you know, again, that's why the chamber was started back in the 1920s. We actually became official in 1976 or something like that. Just to promote moms and pops, the small businesses, because anybody who's in business knows that the marketing and promotion piece, that's the biggest piece. So when I can buy a $5,000 ad for an event, that alleviates a lot of, hey, do you have money to pitch in to do this? And so the events really are an amazing thing for our little community. And last year we found out exactly how much they meant. And when I write my grant, I put these anecdotes in, is that we had to cancel the soccer tournament because of smoke in the air. Well, several businesses lost 10 grand. Yeah. I mean, in one day. Yeah. Mm. And so when we get riders that come to town, and Schweitzer's really good about riders, I often tell them, this just isn't a story. This is about people's life, and it's about their businesses, and it's about our little community carrying on. So when you write the article, I want you to be thoughtful about it. I want you not just to be too factual, but add our story. So,
And I just want to say something to Kate's point in terms of the you know, bringing people in. People come for specifically trail running. It tends to be a family kind of a thing. Usually, it's either mom or dad or mom and dad, and then the kids are around. And so it does turn into a mini vacation focused around a specific purpose, which I think is great. And like years ago, Schweitzer was the location for the trail run that we had on the mountain that was benefit for 24 hours for Hank. And unfortunately, that they've changed. They've got other fundraising that they're working on. So the trail race has gone away. Well, I can't tell you the number of calls that we still get from people who enjoyed that race. So, I mean, if there's a race director out there listening who is interested, let us know, because we would love to get a trail race back at Schweitzer. But again, Schweitzer's not putting it on. We're happy to be the host. The location, so there's a variety of things that have to happen. But, you know, it brought in, people were just happy to have that idea.
Now there's a calendar of events you've got to compete with.
I know.
So, well, so the Angels over Sandpoint is going to put on a run in October.
And this one I'm going to win.
It's your idea. It's called the 0.05K, the best 546 yards you'll ever do. It starts with a beer. Well, in Texas, they have a smoke break in the middle, but yuck, we won't do that.
We'll do coffee and donuts.
Coffee and donuts in the middle, and then at the end, you get another beer, or you can pay an extra $25, and an antique car will drive you from start to finish. So we're going to market it as the lazy man's race.
Just to bring it back to the scenic half really quick.
Let's return to the scenic half.
I'm winning the lazy man.
The scenic half, because it starts at City Beach. That's the start-finish line. And then you actually run along the Long Bridge, which is always incredibly beautiful. And then down Lakeshore Drive. There's a 10K that ends just past the end of the Long Bridge, and then you turn around again. So it really does highlight, I think, some of the more beautiful and unique features of downtown Sandpoint, which is really nice. It's also a really great town participation that we have to get, because we run down the streets of Sandpoint. So I think that's also what brings people back every year, is that you get to experience this town in a really unique way.
Plus, it's a flat course. Yes.
Right. Which we have about 200 volunteers.
And I'm just coming back for a moment to the half marathon, and Kate, you mentioned that it tends to be more women than men. Do you understand why?
I am not a runner, but I don't know that. We noticed that trend after I was here for about 3 years. I'm like, you know, now that everything's online, we can see the demographics. And it was really very interesting to me. So I have no idea why. And perhaps that is a question we should ask of one of our female runners this year.
We should probably monitor all of the events and see, you know, is there a trend? Is it Sandpoint, you know, but that's, or is it like, kind of event?
We just had that conversation as well up on the mountain. We're like, you know, maybe we should start and continue to ask our guests who are coming, what is it that brought you here?
Right.
And why are you, you know, you've been coming to Fall Fest for 13 years. Why? And, and you know, we do have those informal conversations with people all the time, but it might be nice to really, hey, let's qualify it and really figure out and be more specific.
When we won Most Beautiful Small Town in America in 2011, yes, I will say that till the day I'm dead.
That was a big coup, by the way.
It was huge. I'd only been here 3 months. And so the judges when they got to California, because our competitors were Coral Gables, Florida, Carmel, California, you know, 150,000 or less was their small town. So we were like a microscopic town. And the one thing that they said to the judges, they said, you know, everywhere we went was beautiful, but it was the people. It was the people in Sandpoint that were so amazing. And so I think that's what brings people back, because, you know, many other places have what we have, but it's the experience. Again, it's those of us who've been called to live here, and we love our community. I mean, yes, we all can be a pain in the butt sometimes, but we're all family.
Right.
And we all take care of each other. And so I think that's what people love about it.
And all of the events that go on at Sandpoint year-round, some that have just passed we haven't talked about today, but in other shows, the CHAFE, the Cycle Hard for Education ride, other events like that depend so heavily on volunteers. And the volunteers who come out are really great ambassadors for the community, and they bring people back. You mentioned the large number of volunteers that it takes to put on the scenic half, and I know for the cycle cross it's the same. And for the I'd love to volunteer to throw. That's what I'll do. I'll come up and I'll throw color.
We'll get that out.
I will check and find out, because you would be a fantastic thrower.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
oh,
you
yes.
would. Yeah. I see you in purple. Yeah.
I have a vision. But
Forest Urchin Phil. Yeah.
That is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
But let's so the scenic half, how big is it growing?
Well, like Kate said, I think we've kind of averaged out because there are so many different runs now in Sandpoint. But yeah, it's usually between 700-800. Registration is still open. You can find registration through our Facebook page, I think is probably the easiest.
And
there's also scenichalf.com. Just go to that and it's right there. Make it really easy. Or just email Kristin, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, at sandpointchamber.com.
That's good. And I want to make sure before we go, Cyclocross, it's a little further off, but not much. Coming up October?
Actually, last weekend in September. Which I think 29th and 30th, I believe.
And you're expecting how many this year?
Well, it's grown every year. Last year was our biggest year, and I don't remember exactly, but I think we had 400 and something racers. And that's, you know, and you know, talking about bringing people to town, it's a totally family-oriented thing. People come, they bring their campers, they camp out with their families, their kids race, they race, and it's just, so, you know, it's probably 1,000 people that it brings to town, I would say.
And
but
for people listening who want more information, what's the best source for them to go to?
Well, let's see. We have a Facebook page, which is Sandpoint Cyclocross. We haven't been updating it lately just because it's the off season, but we have to start soon. And we also have, there's a website called WildWestCXSeries.com. And that's, we also started a series. So we're one stop on a 5-city tour.
Nice.
And this year it includes Whitefish, Bozeman, Missoula, Sandpoint, and Helena. So we're the only Idaho.
We're the western Montana.
Yeah, but we're actually the ones that started the series. Right. Wayne Pignolet and I.
It fits in the Montana Shakespeare in the Park stops here, so why not cycle cross?
Yeah, right. That's right. So we will be updated. We had some issues with the Wild West website recently, so we need to go in there and fix some things and update it. But we'll have some information on there.
And before we go, Dick, so the color run Sunday, if people want to refresh themselves on details.
They can go to Schweitzer.com, of course. The event is linked right from the homepage. They can get all the details. I hope people come up. You get a hot dog with huckleberry relish.
What?
After.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Huckleberry relish.
You deserve it after
you,
run. You maybe. Maybe so, for you, Ricky. Okay. Yes.
And if you combine the huckleberry relish, which I'm envisioning to be purplish, with some mustard.
Yeah.
It's going to match your t-shirt. At the end of the thing, it's going to be amazing. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And if anybody wants details about the trail system, that could be. Oh, my gosh. Just to mention that if people want a copy of the Lower Basin Trail System that Charles was talking about as well, you can access that from the Schweitzer website as well. So that whole trail map is downloadable I'm perfect. But downloadable? You can download it. I don't know how to say that.
Dig, what I need to know about that trail map is, does it pinpoint where we will find the huckleberries?
No. What? The huckleberries, people are really possessive of their huckleberry stashes. It's pretty fascinating. And it's awesome. I will give a little bit of tidbit that Yuski Loopski, there's some nice patches of huckleberries up there.
Now they're gone.
But you can usually tell where people are picking on the road by based where the cars are parked off of Schweitzer's Road.
Are the huckleberries ripe now?
They are on the road from about the roundabout, just around the roundabout right now. They're pretty darn good. And then as you get to the mountain off the cross-country trails this week, I think they probably should be nice. But with the hot weather, they're not lasting very long.
Okay. I'll go to my secret spot.
Yeah, your secret spot.
And maybe not an official community event, but Schweitzer's offering of huckleberry picking on the mountain, I would have to say, ranks
high. The huckleberry shuttle?
Ranks high.
We're really, I love that. Yes. Honestly, we have a fantastic crew in our activities and events department. Shout out to Danny Demons, who's our activity center manager. She's amazing. And so the huckleberry shuttle, I think they are full for the rest of this season, but next year we'll do it again. It's a free shuttle. Sign up in advance, and we'll take you out to a spot where there's berries. And again, we want everybody to enjoy the mountain, and we want everybody to find a way to commune with nature. Sounds so hippy-dippy, but I mean that. It's fine. Get outside and enjoy it and experience it. And just because you aren't a trail runner or you're not into hiking doesn't mean that you can't have these experiences. As Ricky talked about, the Bay Trail is great for us. If you want to pick huckleberries, there are places for you to pick huckleberries without making yourself uncomfortable in the process.
And that's great, too, because that means people are going there, not to my favorite spot.
Isn't yours up at the goats, on top of some crazy mountain?
I'm not going to tell you. I have three or four, and early reports are that two of them aren't doing well this year. Oh, no.
Careful.
Before we go, we're running short on time, which who knew that would happen with this crowd?
With these two.
I think, protocol says Chamber has the last word, and Ricky looks like she's bursting to say something.
Oh, man.
Well, come up with something.
I've never been on the radio before.
Contact, if nothing else, contact information.
Please, locals often come into the visitor center and say, I just was driving by. I've lived here for 25 years. I've never been here. And so please stop by. We have so much information. If you've just moved here, if you've lived here your whole life, there is something. I just recently took the Lake Pendere cruise, the historical cruise. I didn't know that I didn't know that much about our lake. It's incredible the things that you can find out about Sandpoint if you try to push out of your comfort zone and just see what else there is. So please stop by and see us, 1202 North 5th Avenue. Check out sandpointchamber.org is our website. There's all the information on there. Also, visit sandpoint.com. Thank you, Kate. Has part of our grant stipulation is listing all of the lodging available. If you have a family event coming up, a big event, everything is listed on there, as well as all of the activities and fun kind of tourist-facing businesses. Find all of that information on there. It's a great resource for everybody in town, locals and visitors.
I know it can be hard to find a room in Sandpoint, too, especially over big weeks. Coming up here with the music festival, we are constantly, our guest room is constantly loaned out to friends who can't find rooms otherwise, which is fine.
In the summertime, the mountain has availability. So for us being low season, just a reminder, we do have rooms.
Keep it in mind.
Yeah.
Well, as we do run short on time, I'm going to thank you all for joining us. Dig Krismer from Schweitzer Mountain, Charles Mortensen of POP and also Syringa Cyclery, and then finally the Chamber with Kate McAllister and Ricky Witte. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you all for coming in.
You bet.
We're going to take a music break, Phil, and then back with a few online upcoming events. And let's hear one. We're going to hear a request from Charles Mortensen, and this will be Arlo Guthrie with the Motorcycle Song.